you know, on television, how you hear about Australian migrants, new people to the country, and how they make dreadful mistakes. I did one of those. So I arrived in 1973, but in 1978 I was in Darwin, and I forgot his name. Robert Nitschke was in Jabiru, a mining place. And so I was his closest pastor. That's only 300 kilometers away, but I was his closest pastor. So I packed the family in our one of those combi vans, right, and off we drove. And we had the air conditioner full bore, and my daughter was hopping out and was bored, so she was hopping out and going to the loo, and I wouldn't turn the air conditioner off because it was so hot, so the engine overheated. And I had to sit beside the road. And I suddenly realized I had not seen a car, a petrol station, another human being for at least an hour. There was nowhere to walk to, and we had no water, no food, and in those days, no mobile phone. And I suddenly realized I was not prepared to make a 300-kilometer drive in the outback. And so Jesus talks about being prepared. So he tells us that, watch out then. You do not know the day or the time when the Lord will come. And so he describes the Middle Eastern wedding. And in their culture, the groom would start from his house and he would walk to his bride's home or village home. And there would be this big parade and torches to light the way as they go. But of course, sometimes the groom couldn't leave because they were still negotiating about the bride price. How much is, you know, she worth? And, well, she's worth more than that. In this particular case, the arguing went late. And so there are 10 bridesmaids, and their job is to have lamps that would light the way in the dark as they march along. And they have their dresses, beautiful dresses. Their hair has been plaited. You know, they've got the henna decorations on their skin, nice high heels, all their best jewelry. Everything is there. And then because it takes a long time, everyone falls asleep. So the girls fall asleep. All the girls fall asleep. And finally comes the call, wake up, the bridegroom's here. So the girls get out their lamps and they've been burning all this time they were sleeping. And they go like this, and suddenly some of them discover, 5 of the 10 discover, oh, we don't have any oil. Now, interestingly, 5 of the girls slept, they dragged their oil with them. Just imagine, they're in high heels and, you know, all their finery, carrying kerosene oil, you know, with them for the lamps. And 5 didn't. And so the ones who had no oil do the natural thing, and they say, well, give us some of your oil. And the girls go, no, we can't do that, because we'll run out too. Then there'll be no light. So they say, go to the shop, knock on the door, knock on the hut, and wake someone up and get some oil. And while they get, you know, interesting here, how sometimes we can feel guilty about saying no. You know, just because someone says, hey, look, I didn't do my homework, can I have yours? Or can I have a look at your exam? Or can I, you know, like there are times when we say no. So Satan tempted Jesus. He said no. We can say no when people are tempting us. So the girls go, no, we actually have to have this so we can do our job. So the 5 weren't prepared, which makes me wonder, am I prepared? Are you prepared? If tonight Jesus returned, are we prepared? I'd like to say, my first reaction is no. No way am I prepared. I could always be better. I could always be better than I am, doing more than I do. And when I was in year 11 in high school, there was another young guy who was also going to be a pastor. He was going to be a Baptist pastor, and I was going to be a Lutheran pastor. So we're in year 11. Yeah, we know nothing about the job. Anyway, he told me, if you die committing a sin, you go straight to hell. And I thought, gee, my chances of dying in church are pretty slim. In 50 years, I've never had anyone die in church. He goes like, oh, yeah, they went to heaven. They died in church. That's never how I felt like my chances doing bad things is much more likely to cause death, right? If you're speeding or drinking or doing something bad, you're much more likely to die. I thought, I don't have a hope of going to heaven. I almost quit being a Christian. I'm sure he learned later about grace, as did I. But, my thought was, well, I haven't got a hope. It's interesting, the girls who brought the oil do not judge the others. They could have said, you idiot. They don't judge them. They just say, why don't you go try and see if you can get some oil. Their job isn't to judge. Their job was to be prepared themselves. So the groom comes. The five girls who have the torches lead the parade, and off they go. And they go into the banquet, and the door is shut and locked. And then the five who were unprepared come knocking on the door, let us in, let us in. And he says, I don't know you. I don't know you. They weren't prepared. The girls who had the oil were prepared for the delay. And Jesus has been delayed, right? Like the early Christians, some of them thought like Jesus will come in a few days, a few years, a few decades, a few centuries, a couple thousand years. He's been delayed. Now this is a blessing that Jesus is delayed. It gives time, like my parents, I've said before, stopped going to church for 40 years, but a couple of years before they died, they came back. Well, the delay gave them time to come back. And some of my children don't worship. The delay gives them time, and some of your children and grandchildren don't worship. The delay gives people time, so it's a blessing. It gives us time to pray for those who have fallen away from Jesus. But then again, how do we prepare? What's this oil? What is this stuff? It symbolizes faith, our relationship with Jesus. So Jesus says, watch out, because you do not know the day or the hour that your Lord will come. Can we be prepared? How do we take care of this faith relationship? Well, you think about it, it's just like your relationship with your children or your grandchildren. You actually have to take time to make that relationship. And you know, we're busy. You know, if you're not careful, you can be working and then doing your hobbies. And there's no time left for your kids or grandkids. So we actually need to build that relationship with our children and our grandchildren. And it's the same. Christmas is coming, and I will want to give things to my grandchildren. And, I need to check with their parents. What are they into this year? I think the one granddaughter wants a soccer ball, of course. But, you know, there are no soccer balls left in Australia right now. You can get a basketball, as many as you want, but no soccer balls. But, yes, I know she wants a good... Or a soccer Barbie would be good, too. It's that connection. Now, on the other hand, my one son, who I haven't seen for many, many years, he has children also. But over the last 10, 15 years, they've received nothing. So one mob of my grandchildren received gifts, and the others, I don't even know how many there are at this point, and they don't. And so that relationship is broken. It's not happening. And then because it's broken and not happening, then they can't receive. So for us to be prepared is about the relationship we have with Jesus, isn't it? How do we feed this relationship with Jesus? How do we feed our faith? Well, of course, reading the Bible, praying, gathering with your brothers and sisters in the Lord. And you know, one thing important about gathering with our brothers and sisters in the Lord is that, you know, when there's a fire and you have coals, if you take one coal out of the fire, how it no longer glows red but finally goes black again and is cold. So it's when we're together, when those coals are together, they keep each other warm. And as we gather with our brothers and sisters in the Lord, we keep each other warm. So you're not here just for yourself, but you're also here for your other brothers and sisters to encourage their faith. But it's also our baptism. That's another way we have that connection with the Lord. Or when we take the Lord's Supper, gather with our brothers and sisters, worship, prayer, And also when we serve, you know, we love God and we love others. So you may help in an op shop or they were talking about those Christmas parcels that we can give to people who need them. And just caring for people, you know, neighbors, friends, whoever. So my question is, am I prepared? Do I have enough faith? Well, in one answer, I'd say no. I could always be better. I could always be better than I am. And I probably will die committing a sin. I can't imagine that I'll die in church. I would be very lucky to die in church, but I don't expect that would happen. And so how could I be prepared? I think I've lost my place. So this relationship with the Lord is like a couple that's engaged. You know how excited they are when their wedding is approaching and, you know, you have to go inspect the church and, oh, yeah, we could put decorations on the end of the forms. And, you know, they pick their dress and they go to the catering and they check the food. Oh, yeah, we'll do alternate drop, beef and chicken. You know, and what will the bridesmaids wear and what suits will the guys order? But while all this is going on, they're still going to work. They're still playing sports. They're still living. And our faith is like that. So we actually have to live our life while we actually are, you know, it's like part of our life that we're still reading the Bible, worshiping, but we're still going to work. We're still, you know, going to men's shed. We're still riding bicycles with the sprocket rockets, still singing. You know, all of that's still happening. It's part of life. It's not separate from life. You know, going to a home group, taking the Lord's Supper. Because you are blessed to be a blessing. So it's when you're with those other people that you're actually doing your job as a Christian, when you are loving others, when you are supporting others, when you are helping others. So in one sense, I'm never ready. You'll never be ready, right? Because we always could be better. There's always blots on the copybook. There's always things that are less than what we'd like them to be. But on the other hand, you're always ready. You're always prepared because of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus became a human being for you. Because Jesus died on the cross for you. Because Jesus wiped away all your sins. Because Jesus died for you. Because Jesus came alive for you. Because Jesus says he wants you to be with him in heaven. You are prepared. So on one hand, yes, I'm never prepared. If I look at myself, I'm always going to be filled with doubt. If I look at Jesus, where we're supposed to look, then you know you are prepared because he died for you. He wants you in heaven. So in Jesus, you are prepared. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds, Savior Christ Jesus. Amen. And please.